Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Orange County.
I had no idea that was your husband.
To New Jersey.
I never expected this.
Toughen up, toughen up.
Get behind the scenes and relive the drama.
Don't talk to him. He's a little twerp.
All of this is unimportant to me.
With exclusive interviews and celebrity guests.
Let me tell you something right now.
This is Getting Real with the Housewives.
Welcome to Getting Real with the Housewives. This week we sit down with former Real Housewives of Dallas star Leanne Locken, who tells us if she would ever return to the franchise, why she was always considered a villain, and where she stands with DeAndra. So Leanne, how are you doing? How's life been? I know that you're hosting this fabulous brunch. So tell me all about it.
You know what? The brunch is going to be August 6th. I'm so excited. It's in the Hamptons. It's actually produced by my friends Sean and Brian, who just produced Jill Zarin's event. And it's going to be great. It's an interactive blogger lunch. We actually hosted, it's very similar to the blogger lunch that I hosted with them almost, 2 years ago. And since then, the three of us, we've started a travel magazine. We've traveled the world. We've kind of done it all.
That's so much fun. I love that it's like an interactive brunch and things like that. So what kind of events and or things are going to be happening during the brunch?
You know what, really, coming out of COVID, I think a lot of people kind of lost their way a bit about how to engage with one another, how to communicate. And so really the blogger lunch is us just getting together as a group of influencers in our community and sort of expressing what works, what doesn't work, meeting a few other people, other celebrities from Canada. I know Kara Alloway is going to be there and Julie Hart is coming. And so just kind of, it's a chance for those of us who are still getting that high engagement to express to the others, you know, what's going on, how we're doing it, what's working, and so that they can go back into their community and make a good difference, a positive difference.
Definitely. I love that so much. I know it's been a few years since we've seen you on our screen, and obviously everybody keeps up with you on Instagram and things like that, but what is life looking like for you now? Are you happier now putting that behind you?
You know, I'll have to say, I think if you ask either Vicky or I, we would give you the same answer. Leaving was difficult because it is such a pattern, a program. You become programmed to be a housewife. And it just, it took time to deprogram. But you know what? Once I deprogrammed, there's life just opened up. I will say the one thing that consistently everybody said to me once they saw me first right after COVID, they were like, you just seem so much lighter. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not having to check Twitter to see what the world's saying about me today.
Was that typical for you dealing with, you know, the online hate and the stress of the show? I mean, did it affect your mental health at all?
Of course it did. You know, I think if you read Dave Quinn's book, you'll realize that I'm always very blunt with Andy about how difficult the show was on me. And I think I did that because I kept hoping that they would say, okay, you know, if you look at any of the other Housewives show, it's like, so-and-so's a target this year, next year it's going to be somebody else, next year it's going to be somebody else. But in Dallas, it was like, Leanne, 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 Leanne. And I just, got to a point where I kind of had PTSD during filming because I was like, all right, what's going to, I mean, if you walk into a party ready to have a good time, you have a pretty good chance of having a good time. If you walk into a party going, who's got the knife or the baseball bat? Who's going to try and take me out? You're not going to ever have a good time. And I think it started to show as the years went on that I wasn't having a good time because the cast was so focused on, you know, take out Leanne.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that had to be, like you said, is extremely stressful, especially, I mean, considering that some of these ladies were your friends at one point.
Wow. That, I think that made it all the more painful. And at the same time, it made it a little more scary because, you know, you've watched them do to other people what now they're doing to you, and you know what the progression is and how far it can go. Yeah. And I guess that's never why I joined the show. It was never what it was the show was about for me. The show was about highlighting the nonprofits that I love in my community. And the other part that was huge for me was showing the world that even though you may have broken pieces of you, you may have depression like I have, you may have whatever your it is that you have that you think is your struggle and you cannot get off the sofa. I wanted to show people around the world, yes, you can. Yeah. I did it. And if you need help, message me. Reach out, get help. This is what worked for me. And that was a huge part of what I loved about being on the show. And to this day, I still get messages, you know, wives email me saying, you know, I understand my husband's anger so much better watching you. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay.
You know, but
yeah, I mean, I guess you don't realize when you're in it, what the big reach that you have to so many different people going through so many different phases of their lives and chapters of their lives. And then, you know, I mean, speaking of chapters of your life, I mean, how is marriage going? I mean, it's been over 3 years now.
I know, over 3 years. Yay, still married. My husband's doing great. He's struggling right now. He has a severe eye infection, viral eye infection. So we've been taking care of that. But he's got the number two documentary on Discovery Plus, all about aliens. We are both working on two individual shows each that are in development. I mean, we're busy. I've got the blogger stuff and the events with Ticket to Events. I've got my travels with the same boys with Eternal Traveler magazine. You know, the dogs are constantly wanting a treat. And there's always something going on in Dallas.
I love that so much.
Life hasn't changed. It's just, you know, the toxic people around me are no longer there.
Would you do reality TV again? Is that like something that you definitely, is that maybe something that's in the works for you?
In a heartbeat. I mean, for me, reality TV, you know, it's funny because as the show ended, you know, I would have my cast reach out to me and be like, I just want you to know, you know, the producers really wanted me to do that, did that. And it's so funny because the producers never came to me and told me to do anything. And I think that's because in the very beginning of every year, I went straight to the executive producer, which we had a new executive producer every single year. And said, here's the deal. Don't ask me to lie. Don't ask me to do anything that's not of my character, and we'll get along just fine.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie to the audience. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to be, if I'm broken, I'm going to show that I'm broken. Mm-hmm. If I'm surviving and soaring, then that's what I'm going to show. You know, I just wanted to be authentic.
Right. And I mean, do you feel like the other ladies at times weren't, obviously, like you said, if producers are telling them to do things, did you feel that in the moment too? You're like that. I know that that's not you.
Well, it was really difficult for me because I was, you know, Cameron Westcott even said this to the vice president that was over our show. The only person who is the same on camera and off camera is Leanne. Mm-hmm. And that made it hard because you get on camera and you're like, where the hell did this person come from? And then you get off camera and they're like, hey, girl, you know, you just, you know. And I'm like, no, I don't just, you know, mm-hmm. You're going to come for me. That's going to go over into our real lives.
Yeah.
And you need to be aware of that. So, you know, you decide now. And they all decided that, you know, TV was where they wanted to their loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Was that maybe the hardest pill to swallow when it came to your friendship with Deandra?
No, I think the hardest pill to swallow was that I was unsuccessful showing Deandra what unconditional love was. And that is probably the most heartbreaking realization for me coming from Housewives. You know, when I met her, I immediately felt for her. I wanted to show her that she was worthy, that she could be loved, that she was lovable, that she was deserving. And I hate that TV or fame came between me completing that task.
Any communication between the two of you?
No. I mean, last I heard, she was walking around with some security guard telling people she was scared of me. Oh. It never ends with that family, you know? So no. I'll pass. I think I'll hang out with happy people.
Right. You know, you at the end of your season, at the end of your run on the show, all the comments about Carrie, when you made those comments, did you ever think twice about it? And did you ever, go ahead.
No, I honestly never thought twice about it, because the first thing that I think people don't understand was that I was mimicking what she was saying to me. I was saying out loud back, like, you know, I'm not just saying these words. These are not the words coming from my mind or my heart. These are words that came out of her mouth that I mimicked back. And so that was hard for me. And it was really hard for me to also for the world not to understand, you know, that in Texas, things are just the way we talk is just really different. I think the biggest problem with me with the show was we had a very liberal producer who was never boots on the ground, just sent other people to do the job. And we had a very liberal network. And Texas is not liberal. We are very conservative. So every time I tried to explain how we are, how we do things, if it wasn't what either of them wanted or liked, they wouldn't air it, you know? And so for me, it became, you know, I'm trying to tell you who we are, how we live authentically, you know, not bullshit, but real life. And it just didn't matter. It just didn't matter. So, you know, we say things differently here. We just do. We always will, you know, Coke and soda pop, I mean, and pop, you know, look all over the country. That's how it is. So
after that, were you done with the show? You were like, I need to leave.
I think, well, you know, I should have seen it coming, because if you go back and look at every reunion, it was like, okay, reunion one, I was dangerous, you know, and I don't remember what I was in reunion two, it was something. And then, you know, the third season, I was something else. So it just became these words, these titles that were attached to me that were inappropriate. If you go and look at what people say about childhood trauma survivors, expressing anger the way I expressed anger was the only way I knew how. Have I learned better? And did I learn better from season one to season four? Yes, I did. 100%. I mean, you know, and I think, honestly, one of the things I do love from the show is that I was challenged every year to be better. And I hope, was I challenged? I mean,
Were you surprised the show got canceled?
Yeah, I was disappointed. Mm-hmm. I saw the day that it got canceled, you know, everybody was DMing me and like, you won. And I'm like, what did I win? I didn't win anything. Texas as a whole lost. And the people of the community, the restaurants and the event planners, we lost. It was sad for me because, you know, as long as there was a show, there was the opportunity to come back and have a beautiful redemption story and a caring story and an authentic story. And I think it was sad to see it premiere to, you know, just over 300,000 viewers, you know, and that when I saw that premiere, I was like, oh, this is everything I was worried about.
Yeah. Do you feel like if you were still on the show that it wouldn't have gotten canceled?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, you could look at it and see the numbers. I mean, the highest rated episode of season four was not either reunion. People turned off the reunion. Mm-hmm. The highest watched episode of season four was my wedding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, people want a love story. I just think in today's times, petty fighting and bickering over bullshit is just not what people want to see. People want to see an authentic journey of victory.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I tried to provide.
Would you return for like an ultimate girls trip? Has that been any conversations at all?
You know, I don't know that I can say if that's been a conversation. I can tell you that I would love the challenge of working with girls from other casts, because I think, who knows, maybe my game can finally get elevated. You know, it would be nice to see if I could step up.
Who do you think would be the biggest challenge?
You know what? It's funny because a lot of people are like, oh, Leanne and Kelly Dodd. I mean, Kelly and I are friends. I think I know how to handle Kelly. Mm-hmm. Lisa and Brenna and I don't know that I would have, honestly, I don't know that there would be a challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it would just be an opportunity to really play the same game at a level that I had never been afforded to be to play before.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe in a couple of years time, maybe there's always been rumors that maybe Dallas would have find a home on Peacock? Would you, or, you know, maybe go back on Bravo full time? Would you return to the show? And do you want to have that redemption story?
Of course. Who doesn't want a redemption story? Everybody does. Because the truth is, I'm not who I was portrayed to be. And I think, you know, if you look at my actions in the community over the last 2 years, it's been, you know, feeding the homeless, you know, clothing our underserved communities. It's judging the Southern Miss Bearded drag pageant, you know? I mean, I'm out there doing a little of everything. And so I would love a redemption story. Would I do it again? It would depend on three things. It would depend on who the production company was. It would depend on who the other cast members were. And it would depend on where I was in my life, mm-hmm. You know?
If any of the cast members that were previously on the show with you did it, would you return?
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, here's the thing. I think stepping away from it for a while really gives you a good perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think season 2 and 3 were probably my strongest seasons because I was so in control of myself. And I just, you know, once I got back to that stage, I was like, why didn't I say this? Why didn't I say, you know, you get to that point where you're like, hello. So yeah, you know, I would consider it again. And I don't feel threatened or uncomfortable around anyone who has been on Real Housewives of Dallas. That's the legitimate truth. I think had things been different, Carrie Brittingham and I would have been really good friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, we're pretty much almost the same person, except she's single now and I'm married. So I draw the line at one little area, but drinking and partying, pretty much that's all we do, mm-hmm. You know? So I think we'd get along great.
Do you have any communication with any of the ladies or no?
Yeah, actually Cameron and I were just texting today. She's getting ready to go for a trip. I'm getting ready to go to the Hamptons for the event. So when she comes back and I come back, we're going to grab lunch together. But yeah, you know, I'd actually even love the opportunity to be on camera with Tiffany Moon. I mean, I think she did a great job in season 5. And, you know, I've had lunch with her a couple of times. And every time we end lunch laughing, and she's always like, what could have been?
What could have been? Leanne, before we wrap up, I have a couple of fun, like, housewives regrets, looking back at some of your time. And if there's any regrets that you had. Easy one. First one, any fashion regrets during the show?
Oh, God, Jesus. Holy yes. Does any housewives ever say, no, I have no regrets?
Season 1,
let's just talk about the blush. Okay. It had its own Twitter account. And I would consider that clothing a fashion. Yeah. Fashion. No, please don't.
Did you ever regret smashing the glass and telling Carrie Duber to be careful?
I mean, here's the thing. I can't say I regret that because, I mean, the meme is fabulous. And it did set up Cameron for this is why you have plastic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was part of my job. That season, I'd been being pushed all season starting in Mexico to smash something. You know, you got to smash something, Leanne. You got to smash something. So I was like, you know, at that point, I was so beaten down from having flesh-eating bacteria that I was like, you know what? F it. I just want to go home. Smash, let's go. And then you have to remember, once you let the frontal lobe take over with me, I don't remember things that come out of my mouth. I'm utterly a different person.
Do you ever regret calling Brandy a little piece of trash?
You know, Only, yes, I do, because in a sense, I know that that's her trigger. Mm-hmm. And I know that that I didn't like when the girls triggered me about my stories and all that. So, yeah, I do, because you know what? I don't think she is. If you ask me today, I would say, no, I don't think she is. She's an amazing mom. Her daughters are kicking butt and cheer. And, you know, yes, I do. Yeah. She's because she's not that.
Mm-hmm. Do you regret hitting the camera or pushing the camera in the fight? I think it was like it was near like
season
a
one.
Yeah. Season one. Do you regret?
I know it was. Yeah. Well, I was pretty freaking drunk. So here's the thing. And anybody who knows me knows this. If I tell you to please stop doing something more than three times, something not right is going to happen. And I'm going to do it. And it's almost a lack of control. But at that point, I was very out of control. And no, I don't regret it, because I told the guy to stop damn filming me. And he kept sticking the thing in my face. And I was like, I don't think you know who you are messing with. With these are the horns. You're about to get the bolt.
Would you say, was that like your Bravo, Bravo, Bravo moment where you wish cameras would just shut down? Or did you have another moment where you wish they just weren't filming?
Oh my God, I have so many moments where I wish they would just shut down. Are you? Yeah. Really, seriously. And there are moments that I wish they were there. Like the night that Cam and I went walking all over Copenhagen and ended up in the King's or the Queen's courtyard at 3 a.m. and in our tracksuits. And I'm like, I see the militia with their, you know, bayonets. And I'm like, we need to go. And Cam's like, why? Where are we? And she's like, I think we're in the Queen's court. And she's like, oh, thank God I can tie my shoe. And I'm like, no. There's two guards coming this way and three guards coming this way. And I'm like, those are not matching Gucci tracksuits. We need to go. Like, our lives are in danger.
That's amazing. Do you regret the comments about Carrie?
I regret that Carrie didn't accept my apology, and I regret not being able to have a genuine conversation with her about what I said, because the reality is my argument was with Carrie and no one else. And so I regret if it had a negative effect on the audience, because that was never my goal. My argument was one-on-one with her. And you know, since then we have sat down and had tea together and you know, she understood it. It's difficult when you come into filming for the first time and everybody's like, you need to do this, you need to do that. And she just thinks she's doing a job. She doesn't understand how other people take the filming and how other people live authentic. I lived authentically on the show. So, you know, it was different. I mean, she even flat out told me, she was like, yeah, in Mexico and Correas, they were like, you need to fight with Leanne. You need to fight with Leanne. And I'm like, well, welcome to my house. Get the fuck out. You know, I mean, but people just don't get it. Every year that they auditioned people, I would literally hear the same thing. Are you willing to take on Leanne Locken? I'm like, now how does that put a positive spin on my, I had no hope with anyone who came on the show. Cameron was scared to death when she signed her contract until she called a mutual best friend who's a shark of a lawyer. And thank God, both our friends. And she was like, told Bina, she was like, I'm so scared of Leanne. And Bina's like, why? That girl will be your best friend or your worst nightmare. But you get to choose.
Yeah.
And you do get to choose.
Did you almost feel like you were kind of set up to fail at times then?
I was set up to fail every year. And the problem, and I said this, I don't remember what reunion it was, but I said this every year. You know, the thing that the producers and that Bravo never got about me is that I truly live the life of a phoenix, which means if I get to the end of my rope and I see no hope, scorched earth is my only policy left, because I know I'm going to rise again. Mm-hmm. And that's how I've always been, you know? So here I am rising and soaring again and being happy. And, you know, got the Hamptons on my books. I've got Aruba in September. I am not struggling. I'm not struggling.
Doing fabulous. And Leanne, it was so great catching up with you. If people want to hear some more information about the Hamptons event, where should they go? How should they get involved?
You can get involved by following Ticket to Events on Instagram, and you can DM them and they can tell you. It's going to be at Barron's Cove in the Hamptons. It's going to be beautiful. I mean, we just had dinner at Barron's Cove for Jill's event, and it's right on the water and it's so beautiful. I can't wait. I really cannot wait.
It's going to be a great event. Leanne,
I mean, you should have seen the seafood. Woo!
I saw the pictures of Jill's. It looked fantastic. It looked great.
It is.
Well, Leanne, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time. This was so great catching up.
Nice to catch up. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Getting Real with the Housewives. But if you want more Housewives news, head on over to usmagazine.com, where we've got you covered.